This is the post-game podcast on the Blood Red Channel, bringing you all the big match reaction with views from the press box, the dugout and the stands.
Liverpool 2, Southampton 0. Guy Clark here. Thanks for joining us for the latest post-game podcast. Thiago Alcantara choosing an ideal time to score his first Liverpool goal to secure the 3 points for the Reds. Sadio Mane 2 on the score sheet, getting onto a Mohamed Salah cross to break the deadlock against the Saints. Well, plenty to come here on post-game. Jurgen Klopp's post-match press conference, The Echo's Liverpool correspondent Paul Gorst in Anfield, as well as two of our regular contributors. Without further ado, though, let's get over to Anfield and hear from The Echo's Paul Gorst.
The post-game podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Liverpool move up to sixth in the Premier League after a 2-0 win here against Southampton. Goals from Sadio Mane and a first in his Liverpool career for Thiago Alcantara were enough to get Liverpool back to winning ways at Anfield. It's just the first time since December that Liverpool have scored more than one goal in Anfield, which pretty much tells you the picture of how bleak it has been here at Anfield without supporters. But looking ahead now, they move up to sixth. They are within 6 points of Leicester, who occupy that final Champions League spot with the Foxes playing Manchester United on Tuesday. So Liverpool, if they are to sneak into this final Champions League spot, then Jurgen Klopp is targeting maximum points from the final four games. That's what he's just told us after the game. 12 points, will that be enough to do it? We shall see. But Liverpool, up next for them is Manchester United on Thursday evening, but with the Red Devils playing against Leicester on Tuesday, we could see significant changes in that one for the home side, which will surely only be an additional boost for Liverpool. But in a game that they pretty much dominated, but Southampton did have a number of chances, has to be said. Alisson Becker was excellent, but Liverpool deserved the win. Sadio Mane got the ball rolling with a close range header after a couple of decent stops from Fraser Forster early on, and it was left to Thiago to complete the result late on with a nice finish, cushioning it in from the edge of the box. He curled it home for his first Liverpool goal. It's been a tough debut season for the Spaniard since joining from Bayern Munich in the summer, but he was excellent tonight, I thought, and has been for the last couple of games, so he will be looking at towards brighter days for next season. But Liverpool have still got a job to do in this one, so they move up to sixth, as I say. Top four still an outside chance, it has to be said, but they're still in their sights, and if they can get that over the line, it will end the miserable season on something of a high. It's finished here in Anfield, Liverpool 2, Southampton 0.
Paul Gorst at Anfield for The Echo, hopefully with all being well, the last time he'll be there at an empty Anfield. 10,000, of course, due to be there for the final day visit of Crystal Palace. Well, that feels like a huge win then for the Reds, especially after the disappointments against both Leeds United and Newcastle United. The Reds then, as Gorsty mentioned, up to sixth in the Premier League, just 6 points off Leicester City now in that crucial race for Champions League football. It really is hotting up. Well, here's Jurgen Klopp with his take on the performance against Southampton, the win and the race for that top four finish, speaking with the media after the game.
First of all, congratulations. How important was that result, and how confident are you can make the top four now, given you've got just 6 points off Leicester and that game in hand?
Oh, it was a big one for us, obviously, tonight. We really needed that. And it was a tough one as well. So it means it's always like this against Southampton. I can't remember a game against Southampton, but it felt like kind of comfortable. It's long ago. We played years ago an FA Cup game, I think, maybe when we won with six, but it was not before. It was before Ralf. And they obviously have a very intense style, and they ask for everything. And yeah. We did a really good job, and I'm happy about that. And we scored the goals. Obviously, being 1-0 up is in the moment for us not the result where we all feel halfway through, which is good because we should not. But we had obviously now twice in a row a similar situation, and so scoring that second goal was obviously a big relief. What that means for our top four hopes, if that they are still alive. That's all, nothing else. And it's nothing to do with confidence or whatever. Our situation changed slightly, but only for us. For the other teams, not too much, because they are still in a better position. And we have to, we know that. The only thing we can do is winning our games, but that's really tough because we play on Thursday Manchester United, and that will, that's historically not easy. But we will give it a try.
And just a word on Thiago, because obviously his first goal for Liverpool, you must be pretty pleased for him.
I am, and he played really well. Not the first time, obviously, but he played really well. He looked really good in pretty much all departments, helped us a lot with his passing game, played top passes, to be honest, was defensively there. So that's all really good and really important. But we all had to work hard. And so he had a lot of good situations, but the most important was when he finished, when he scored that goal. And I'm really pleased for him.
Okay, thank you, Becky. We'll go to Carl Markham and then to Harry Pratt. Carl first.
Hi, Jürgen.
Hi, Carl.
Hi. At this stage of the season, is it results just more important than performances?
Oh, definitely. But usually the result is the result of the performance. And I don't think that this was now not in the, since I'm in Liverpool, the best game we ever played, but it was a game we had to play tonight. It's not about, I said a couple of times, we're not in dreamland and say everything has to click again. So again, we didn't use the first chances. We had really good moments. We had top class counter-attacking situations when the last pass was just not there. That can happen, obviously, in other moments. And it's not that important for us in a moment. They hurt. But we scored the first. That's very important. And in the moment when we conceded in the last games, the equalizer, we scored the second. And that's the big difference. So, yes, the result is the most important.
Yeah, and I was just going to ask you about the importance of Alisson's performance tonight. He was there whenever you needed him.
Absolutely. Yeah, great game with a little two exciting things. And he passed the ball to Jay Adams. But apart from that, a great game. Obviously, we are all together waiting for Mrs. Becker's, for the next Becker baby. So he's constantly, it's like, okay, still not. So, and obviously, the future father of three did a really good job. And we knew that before, obviously, that he's a good one. And tonight he showed it again.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said he's going to have to rotate players, maybe play some kids this week because of the fixture congestion he's got. And he said, you know, some people aren't going to be happy with me for doing that, but I've got no choice. Obviously, one of the games is against you. One of his games is against Leicester. Do you think that's kind of a bad look for the Premier League? It's kind of, you know, the integrity of the competition when one of the top four managers is having to play weakened teams by his own admission.
We have to do that very often, and people never like it because it's always like this. So when we have cup competitions, when we have games over games, and then we rotate, and people always think we don't respect the competition. Now I think everybody is 100% sure that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer respects the Premier League 100%, but the situation is now like it is, and I really think it's crazy what we did with that. I know there were not proper solutions, but I think there could have been a better solution than that. I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure. Is it possible that United has a weekend off after that or something like that? So three games in kind of 5 days, but then a weekend off. So it looks like there would have been a window where we could have done slightly different. But it's a decision. So, and I understand that he doesn't like that, definitely. We will see what we make of that. So we have a tough program ourselves because of that, because now we have twice we play the last four games as well in a very short period of time. So that's how it is. And we will see what we can make.
Jürgen, is it just a case really now of making sure you could get those maximum points from the four games and then keep the fingers crossed?
That's actually, keep the fingers crossed. I'm not sure if that helps. look, we have to win. We have to win football games. And I think if we win all four, then it could be enough. But just because Leicester plays against Tottenham, they play against each other, I think I didn't really think it through, to be honest. But winning four games, I think, is pretty much the only chance we have. So, and that's what we should try. And it will be difficult, but we will try it anyway.
Fantastic. And final question of the press conference, Dave Maddock.
Jürgen, I just wonder whether you think it's almost in keeping with your season that you look like you're almost going to be penalised for nothing that you've done with Manchester United, maybe having to play a weakened team against Leicester. And then possibly playing a strong team against you. It's like you almost expect things like to happen now with your season, the way it's gone.
No, I didn't think about that yet so far. So I think we would have played the strongest United team possible on the actual date. So that's what we expect. nothing else. So yeah, if Man United is doing it like that, we cannot change that. So I think Man United has just only good players. So if I think about the players they could play, then I have a really strong side available. And yeah, pretty good. So midfield, wow, up front, all good players. They might be young, but they're good. So, well, I expect a strong team against us. And what they do in other games, we obviously have no influence. But we would have played last Saturday, I think it was, would have played the strongest Man United side, and that's what we expect now.
The post-game podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
With Leicester dropping points Friday night and one of West Ham and Everton guaranteed to drop points Sunday, it was vital the Reds got back to winning ways. Before kick-off, just seeing that centre-half partnership, it did worry me slightly that the pace of Southampton, they might get in behind with the likes of Walcott, Redmond, or one of Che Adams being one-on-one with Reece Williams. That was sort of something that I thought would pose a threat. The first 25, we had a couple of good chances. A great chance in the 9th minute for Sadio Mane to put the Reds ahead there after a great ball from Trent, but Mane just snatches at it. A Phillips header and Mo find the keeper's gloves and not the back of the net and no breakthrough. Gini hitting the bar, it did feel like we were knocking on the door at that point. But my fears did start to come true when a ball down the line sets Redmond free with only one winner in that race between him and Reece Williams. He gives Che Adams a chance to put the Saints 1-0 up with Alisson making a great double save. Then on the half hour mark, Salah puts a great ball back post with Mane putting the ball and himself in the back of the net for good measure. A goal reminiscent of that goal in the Allianz seasons before. In terms of positives and negatives in that first half, I thought Nat Phillips was fantastic again. Defensively sound, on the ball composed, but Salah was becoming a frustrating watch. Just so wasteful in the abundance of chances that he had there. Start of the second half to begin with, we did seem to control the tempo much better, take that sting out of the game, but no real chances for either team until the 67th minute where Alisson is forced to make another save. It did feel like the Reds were backing off slightly after that and maybe nerves were settling in after the last few matches conceding late on. Then in the last 10 minutes it was just back to the wall really, wasn't it? Boys looking absolutely exhausted. Nat Phillips channeling some sort of Jamie Carragher Istanbul inspiration there, just throwing himself in front of every Southampton opportunity. And then just when you sat there thinking this has got 1-1 written all over it, the ball falls to the feet of Thiago outside of the box for him to fire it into the bottom corner for his first goal in a Liverpool shirt. Absolutely made up for him there, and to be honest, just the biggest sigh of relief straight after it. A very professional performance from the Reds, which keeps the hopes of Champions League football at Anfield alive next season, and it puts pressure on the teams around us to win their respective matches. Old Trafford for the Reds next week. Let's hope this win can give us the confidence to get Jürgen's first win there.
Mike Holt, the first of our regular contributors here on Postgame, sharing his thoughts on the win over Southampton. Well, let's get some more opinions now from the Blood Red Podcast Facebook group. Rod Dixon writes, "Once we got to 80 minutes and it was still 1-0, I began to worry about another game where chances that should have been taken were squandered. Good to see Thiago score. Nat Phillips played brilliantly and was my man of the match." Henry O'Keefe writes, "Uncomfortable watch and the scoreline does not reflect the game. Let's be honest, we got lucky to get the win there, mainly thanks to Alisson. If we play like that against United, we'll be severely punished. Grateful for the win, but we need to be sharper and more energetic." Peter Raven writes, "In my opinion, not a great performance. Second half, don't think we did much. Phillips, man of the match for me. For a player we were trying to get rid of, he has stepped up to the plate. 3 points, all that matters though. Well done, Reds, for the result, not the performance." Finally, Matthew Jones says, "Not the most convincing performance we've served up, but it's all about the points right now. Need Everton to do us a favour tomorrow. Need favours all over the shop, really, to get top four, but we can hope." Well, Liverpool certainly will be hoping that they can get that top four finish. For more In the Blood Red Podcast Facebook group, follow the link in the description of the podcast or just head to Facebook yourself and search for Blood Red. Final thoughts on the Southampton win and Liverpool's hopes for a top four finish come from Mark Baker.
"I don't think a result of which will make a big deal of difference in the grand scheme of things, because I think what tonight's performance showed me and what performances over recent weeks have shown me is that Liverpool aren't going to win five games on the spin to give them any outside hope of reaching the Champions League. And I think that'll be confirmed at Old Trafford on Thursday, where I feel the vulnerabilities that Liverpool currently have will be exposed. But having said that, Liverpool did get the win, which is more than they've been able to do in many similar games over the last few months. And I think Liverpool's season can almost be broke up into sections. Liverpool obviously came into the season with a fantastic confidence and air of invincibility even. And even though they weren't playing well, they had structure in the team in terms of the personnel in key areas and were able to carry on from last season, which people forget, and that there was many games in which Liverpool didn't play particularly well, won by a narrow margin by one goal. And Liverpool could certainly keep that up, both in the mentality, the confidence they had, but also the players in key areas. Then obviously your world-class player Van Dijk gets injured. Any elite side can manage the loss of a world-class player over the short term. However, especially when you factor in that the players who then come into that position, his partners in them areas, and very, very good players, also went down with season-ending injuries. I didn't believe Liverpool could win the league title at that stage, but you then moved on to a section in the season after that, obviously after the Christmas period, where Liverpool had managed to get through and get enough results post-Van Dijk. But then when the other two centre-halves went down and there was other Liverpool's problems in Liverpool's side of having to reshuffle and play midfield players in the back line, etc., etc., they then suffered with being a team who were pretty much Liverpool on the eye. I mean, all the statistical metrics tell you throughout the course of the season that only Chelsea and Manchester City have been more dominant in terms of territory and with the ball. However, Liverpool were unable to function in both boxes to the level required, both defending their own box and choices within the opposition area. And this has gone on till the last couple of weeks. And I think the last section of the season in these last few weeks is the one I've been probably most concerned about, in that it's sort of been a chipping away of everything Liverpool have been in previous seasons, to the point where I do now believe Liverpool that look a very ordinary Premier League team, unable to show the same amount of control over 90 minutes in games and almost completely lose control in a lot of fixtures. I mean, Leeds, I'm just thinking of the last few weeks in general. Leeds totally lost control in the second half. Newcastle, who had a very, very bang average outfit at the level. Again, Liverpool totally lose control, succumb to a late goal. And again, against Southampton today, I just felt it was a game between two very evenly matched teams and what looked on the eye. And you certainly wouldn't have known what Liverpool achieved over the last few years if you just tuned in on the telly and didn't know who was playing in which kit. And I think there has been major issues in both boxes. Obviously, the personnel side of things impacting in how Liverpool are able to defend in their own box, and inexplicably, really, the performances of some of the forward players, decision-making, final pass, weight of pass, choice of shot, execution of shot. I could go on all day, but it's been nowhere near good enough. However, the lack of ability to stamp their authority on games and over the course of 90 minutes is now been derailed for me in Liverpool's performances. And at times I've watched certain recent matches and the midfield just looks like it's been totally overran. And I think that's both with the ball and without the ball. So I think there's a fundamental systematic problem with Liverpool at the moment in terms of the positioning and spacing of the players when they do have the ball. Obviously allied to the fact that the decision making in the final third means that Liverpool get into the second half of games, surrender possession so frequently that the ball is then back at them before they've even received possession or just gain possession. And then the position of the players actually when the transition then happens is nowhere near good enough, and then Liverpool can't win the ball back and then they're played through. I mean, there was a point at one point in tonight's game where Southampton's centre-half was able to run through Liverpool's midfield at a hole and set up a really good opportunity for Southampton. And I remember when Thiago signed in the early months, and you know, the for me lazy suggestions that he couldn't play in Liverpool's midfield because he didn't have the mobility for Liverpool's style of play, which was absolute nonsense. Liverpool have been more of a possession-based team over the last 18 months than previously, when it was much more transitional based under Klopp. But the idea that Liverpool's players have to run more because, you know, they're a team who hunt the ball down and play in counters is nonsense, because the fact, if you are a good counter-attacking side, the whole principle of that is that the positioning of your players actually make you run less, because the compactness, the ability to be in close proximity to one another and win the ball higher means that you're virtually playing in one half of the football field and you're actually exerting less energy. But at this moment in time, when I watch Thiago, for example, playing for Liverpool as one of them sort of outside interior players in a midfield three, he's having to cover so much ground out of possession, and Liverpool are so frequently surrendering possession. This is not what you want to see in terms of him to get the best out of him. He's not that kind of player, but Liverpool's midfield players never previously had to do that because of the immense defined coaching and detail that they had both with and without the ball. And it's certainly a problem for me at this moment in time. The options when players have the ball, the spacing of players to be able to circulate and keep the ball and move the ball into higher areas, and then without it, the connectivity of the players and all the units of the team to actually win it back. So major problems for Liverpool. I think it's certainly been shown that chip by chip, Liverpool have sort of ebbed away from what has made them the side they are. And you can see the confidence isn't there throughout the side at this moment in time. But it won't be a flick switch in which they turn up for next season and everything's fantastic. Obviously, they will get players back, but that doesn't mean that these fundamental issues that are now starting to rear their head and the scars from this season will be eliminated for me. I mean, you look at some of the players, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Naby Keita, Jadon Sancho. What does the future hold for these players? Because especially in Oxlade-Chamberlain and Keita's perspective, because I think Shaqiri's always been on the outsides because of the formation that Klopp uses. But these players haven't had a look, and Klopp has never turned to them in what's been the most difficult of seasons. And you can argue, well, he didn't want to disrupt the team more because they were missing key personnel in other areas. But I don't buy that for me. I think Liverpool's midfield has not been functioning all season. And for these players to, I mean, especially in Oxlade-Chamberlain's case, or all year round be overlooked, and catered over recent weeks, which seems to have lost confidence in him. I think there's massive questions to be asked of Liverpool in the summer. I'm really intrigued to see if Klopp can not pull the situation back, but get them working anywhere near the previous level. And we all know in football as well, everything's fine when you're winning, but when you're not and players are on the outside, it becomes much more difficult to for them to have the confidence of the manager and believe that everyone's has that collective push together in terms of being able to see a long-term future to the club. So anyway, gone on a bit, but yeah, a few issues for Liverpool. I don't see them winning 5 games out of 5, unfortunately. And it'll be interesting to see how the exits or non-entry to the Champions League and all these other factors around recruitment, retention, play out next season, never mind the actual on-field problems that I feel they have at this moment in time.
Mark Baker there with his say on the win over the Saints, Thiago Alcantara, and crucial Champions League qualification, or maybe non-qualification. We'll have to wait and see how it does play out. Well, all eyes now then on Old Trafford and the importance that that game could well have on the Reds' season as a whole. Remember, you can leave us a rating or review wherever it is you listen, as well as signing up for our dedicated Blood Red newsletter. The link to that, of course, in the description of the podcast. But it's a night that belongs to Thiago, the Reds' past master, finding his shooting boots to fire Liverpool into real contention for a top four finish.
You've been listening to the Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.